Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, welcome. It is Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. WBEN Arthur Pressman. Traffic attorney time is 3:10. Thanks to Joe Beamer for the magnificent program leading into this one. And I'm going to go a little bit off the rails to start things off. And frankly, this is something that we talked about several months ago, but just because we did doesn't make it any less relevant or important. And I did confide something in you. And it is this, that I used to drink, all right, so many bottles of water, plastic bottles of water, and didn't think anything of it whatsoever, all right? Plastic water bottles. I'm sure you have some in your house. My mom had some in her house, and plastic water bottles are so common. It's almost like when we were growing up. What, were we at risk of dehydration? Because everybody has water in their house, plastic water bottles. In the old days, we used to drink it out of the sink. Well, I'm sorry, out of the kitchen faucet. Some of us were even brave enough to drink it out of the bathroom tap. Now, my house actually has a water filter and reverse osmosis drinking water in the kitchen. And that was something upon which we had insisted. A new reverse osmosis water filter. And I want to tell you that we have the best tasting water in the world because of reverse osmosis. So we really stay away from the plastic water bottles. Now, before you say, I can't believe he's doing this show, plastic water bottles are really an issue, especially if you drink a lot of water because of micro. Starts with a P. No, not that micro P. Because of microplastics. And you can look this up yourself online. You can see, yeah, Bowerly's actually stumbled onto something here. Microplastics in water get into your body and they stay in your body. They can infiltrate your bones. They can infiltrate another bone, if you catch my drift. And it really is ugly. And the last time we did this, we had a caller who had done duty in Iraq, and you're probably aware of this. It gets very hot in the Middle East, in particular Iraq. And he told us the story of one of the guys. I don't remember if it was his platoon specifically or in his regiment, whatever. He told us the story of one of his fellow soldiers who suddenly doubled over in pain as he was trying to relieve himself of urine from his bladder. Doubled over in pain. They had to bring in a chopper to get him out. And he told us on the air that the problem was the plastic water bottles, and I guess they emptied them into a Camelback I think that's what they're called, camelbacks. So they emptied the water into the camelback, and he was drinking so much water. And this is a young guy. This is not some old guy. This is a young guy. He was drinking so much water and consuming so many microplastics that for some reason, and he didn't know the particulars, his urinary tract got blocked up, which actually is a very serious situation if you've ever had that happen to you. I know. Did you ever think you'd say, thank goodness for those Foley catheters? Oh, they're a lot of fun, let me tell you. I've had a few in my time. But that was a great illustration of plastic water bottles, because these water bottles are shipped, and who knows in what temperature or in what conditions they are shipped. And who knows if they're sitting out in the hot sun before you drink the water. And again, if you drink enough bottled water that has not been stored properly, or enough bottled water in plastic in general, I think it's safe to say, based on what's coming out now about microplastics, that you might want to change. Now, some of you are a little bit older and you're thinking, Tom, I've been drinking water out of plastic water bottles for a long time and I'm A-OK. And I'm glad you're A-OK. Look, I didn't have any issues drinking water out of plastic water bottles. Used to do it all the time. Used to buy that stuff and drink that stuff by the case. Is he talking about tequila? No, I'm actually talking about bottled water. And don't do that anymore. Replaced buying bottled water. In fact, it's actually right in front of me. I have a glass bottle. It's a lot of fun if you have a pool, by the way, but there's ways to get around this. I got my glass bottle of mineral water, Topo Chico. Discovered this in San Antonio way back when, and it's one of my go-tos as far as a beverage, in addition to the water at the home. So I'm kind of curious. I mean, this is kind of a silly It's not really a silly topic. It's not like a standard talk radio topic. But at what point do you remember that America became addicted to carrying hydration around? Because, again, look, I'm 62, no big secret. But at my age, growing up, all right, in my 20s, bottled water wasn't a thing. In my 30s, I don't remember it being a big thing. I remember bottled water and hydration becoming big things maybe from the time I was about, give or take, I was about 40 years old. And the only option was bottled water in plastic. But recently, over the past year, I've become increasingly aware that bottled water in plastic bottles, you are running the risk of microplastics going into your body. And you can even read stories online about autopsies being done and physicians finding, the coroner finding, clumps of plastics which have gathered together and have formed, clumps of microplastic material. So I will tell you what I do. And I'm not trying to insult the people involved in the bottled water industry. Not at all. Just make that very clear. Because, truth be told, there are times when even Rochelle and I will drink out of plastic water bottles. Yes, we will. You know that conservativetours.com trip we just took to France and Luxembourg and Belgium, and we flew into Germany? Remember that? Okay, so plastic water bottles, sometimes that was the only option. So if it was the only option, we rationalized it. And we said, you know what? We can't get a glass water bottle. So since we don't really drink plastic water bottled water that much, I guess if we have a few bottles, it's not going to be a big deal. But when there is a choice, for example, at the airport in, it was Frankfurt, at the airport, it was Paris. We had a choice between bottled water in plastic and bottled water in glass, and we chose the glass. And we did the same thing in Charlotte. We went with the glass water bottles. And what we do otherwise is we have these, I want to call them thermoses, but they're basically very well insulated water bottles. And what we'll do is we will put water from the sink, which is filtered and reverse osmosis, if that's a word, we'll put that into the insulated non-plastic water bottle, and we'll go through a lot of water in a given day. Why? Because of microplastics. plastics. We don't want an accumulation of microplastics in our bodies. And I'll get into that coming up on WBEN. But look, I know this topic is a little bit out there compared to the typical talk radio fare. But remember, I do this show for you. I don't do it for other media people. I don't do it for other talk show hosts. I don't want another job. I'm not auditioning for a network or anything like that. It's just you and me, baby. And we can be real with each other. Don't you prefer that kind of a relationship? I most certainly do. At what point in your life, like if you had to name a decade when bottled water became a requirement, everybody carries bottled water. And when, again, I can't get over the fact that when we were growing up, we didn't have everybody carrying around water. In fact, I can remember, it was a very hot summer's day, and my brother Dick was a Boy Scout or a Cub Scout or something, but he had a canteen in the basement, an old metal canteen. And I just thought it was super cool to have Mom fill up this old metal canteen with water from the kitchen and walk around with that as a hydration source. I don't even think we had bottled water. You know the brands. I'm not going to name the brands. I don't even know that we had those when I was a kid. Because we were too busy fighting the dinosaurs, basically. I was trying to say that. Well, yeah, then the Neanderthals came along. It was a mess back when I was little, but you know the drill. So at what point did hydration become a big deal? To me, I think it was the 1990s. Everybody started talking hydration and, oh, would you like some water? You'll take a 5-minute drive. These days, you take a 5-minute drive to your friend's house. What's the first thing they ask you? Would you like something to drink? What, did I just walk across the Sahara for 8 hours? I literally drove from Cheektowaga to Williamsville, and you think I'm dehydrating? It's always a possibility. Hey, since I went to the ER with dehydration is not to be taken lightly. I will tell you that much. And boy, did my body suck down the saline solution. Holy cow. And the ambulance bill, by the way, was not that bad at all. I thought it was going to be huge, and it really wasn't. Thank you. I would like to praise God for the ambulance bill being as low as it was. Thank you. I'm sure God cares all about that. But at what point did hydration become a big thing? And as far as the source of your water, tell me what you know about microplastics. Tell me if you actually actively try to avoid plastic water bottles. And we have been doing that. Well, I've been doing it for probably the past year or so. My wife has done it for a very, very long time. She knew a lot more about microplastics than I did. And now, for example, today, I looked at my phone first thing in the morning. I had about 3 different stories about microplastics. You know why? The algorithm. They know everything about me. Algorithm. I also got a whole bunch of stories about coming out of the closet, which I thought was weird. But anyway, the algorithm has told the gods of algorithm that for some reason I am really into microplastics and finding out the health risk they pose to humans and animals and seafood. Notice I didn't say aquatic life. I just immediately went to food, you know, seafood. And I got to ask you a question here. In addition to the, when did we become crazed about hydration? What is in your water bottle or your dinner plate or even your bloodstream right now? And unfortunately, I've got to tell you this, you should know this. The answer is microplastics. And what they are, I keep using that word. Microplastics are really tiny bits of plastic. They're not even the size of a grain of rice. They are everywhere. You know why? Because they're all over the place in our oceans, our lakes, the soil, the food chain, and your body. Because as I mentioned, the scientists are finding microplastics in people's lungs. They're finding microplastics in the blood. And even, get this, in the placentas of unborn babies. Now, for those who are offended by the term unborn babies, let me make it relevant for you. They find it in the placentas of clumps of cells. There, now do you feel better? Thank you. So the same stuff that we use to wrap up a sandwich is now wrapping itself around the very foundation of human life. We've actually gone in this country and elsewhere. We've gone from plastic convenience to plastic dependence. Agree with that? And now we are in an era of plastic contamination. And here's the thing. I'm talking about it, all right? And I'm one of the few people, I think, in media that doesn't have a specialized YouTube channel or Snapchat or Instagram or whatever to actually talk about this, because I think it's important to you. Nobody really understands the long-term health effects at this point. But microplastics, which are in your body, okay, and it's very hard to avoid microplastics. I don't mean to pick on bottled water from plastic water bottles, but that's a really big concern. Microplastics are actually connected to inflammation of your body, which can be connected to heart disease, autoimmune stuff, and yes, even cancer. And here's something else that I think you need to know. The microplastics that are absorbed into your body from all kinds of sources, including bottled water, they can carry toxic chemicals like bisphenols and phthalates that can mess with your hormones, your fertility, your brain development. You know, it's really interesting because we've done shows on the birth rate in America and the fact that we're not having enough babies in the United States. And part of me has started to wonder whether, in addition to the people who choose not to procreate and bring new bodies into the world, if some people want to get pregnant, but they can't because their bodies are loaded with these toxins from the microplastics, which come from a multiplicity of sources. And again, I think about bottled water because I do drink a lot of water, and I'm totally anal about glass bottles and not plastic bottles. So please understand that. Microplastics originate in many different places that are connected to our bodies, including, as I mentioned earlier, the soil. All right. We're going to get more into this on News Radio 930 WBEN. Is this okay? Let me ask you this. All right. Is this making any sense? Is this making any sense to you? Are you somebody who is already in the loop about microplastics? I preach to people when I have friends coming over or I meet friends and they're drinking water from a plastic bottle. My first comment is, oh, are you enjoying your microplastics? I was at a doctor last week and I leaned over the counter because they had free bottled water in a little refrigerator in the waiting room. And I told the young lady behind the counter, the receptionist, I said, by the way, you are aware that plastic water bottles aren't really healthy for people. And she whispered back, I know, I've been trying to get them to change, but they won't. So even at a doctor's office, you know, we can have free water, but it's in a plastic bottle, which is probably loaded with microplastics, which are going to seep into your body. I know this is a little bit weird, but I happen to think it's really important. Sometimes I think we worry about stuff that we ought not to worry about in life. And the things that certainly are a source of concern in the long term, you might not even know they're a source of concern unless you go to these weird websites that I visit on a regular basis. 803-0930 is the phone number in the 716. 803-0930, *930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I want to hear from you because otherwise my efforts, my work, it's wasted. I'm just talking to myself, and that would make me feel bad. WBEN, Arthur Pressman, Traffic Attorney Time, is 26 minutes after 3 o'clock. Tanner Saunders behind the glass doing an amazing job because he's actually an android. Not an android. He's actually a combination of human and machine. So a cyborg. I'm sorry. He's a cyborg, and he's doing a great job because that's what he's programmed to do. He's programmed to do a great job and to insult me twice a day, once on the air, once off the air. That's his speciality.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. 1. It's $15 a month. 2. Seriously, it's $15 a month. 3. No big contracts. 4. I use it. 5. My mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Little Doobie Brothers action. By the way, if you're into the Doobie Brothers and the song that we're playing right now, go to YouTube and you can see what they did remotely. They got the band together remotely and they did the song remotely. I think it was during the pandemic, but I was in a hurry, so I didn't pay attention to how they did it or when they did it. But I thought, wow, that sounds really good. It's Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN. Hitting you with a topic that's a little bit out there today, but it's not really out there. Just because other people don't talk about it doesn't mean it's not real. And microplastics, not just in bottled water, but also in our food in general, even in our soil. And what we've heard over the past couple of years is that when they're doing autopsies on people, the coroners are actually finding clumps of plastic in human bodies. Oh, and I don't think you can avoid microplastics, but what we do, we try to reduce to the greatest degree possible our ingestion of microplastics. You know why? Because I don't want to be traveling someday and try to pee and have everything plugged up, because that's not a good position in which to find oneself. And I'm not being gratuitously gross, but it's a reality. It's a medical reality of life. And, you know, I've already had enough issues there. I don't need any more. The reduction surgery. Let's go to Teresa in Cheektowaga, in my dreams, on WBEN. Hello, Teresa.
Hi.
Hello, my dear. So we're talking about microplastics and this whole craze in America and Western New York about hydration and bottled water and, basically convenience. Give us your take.
My take is there's no way you can avoid it.
Nope.
It is everywhere. Just walk in the store, every aisle, your vegetables. What are they packed in? Plastic, thin plastic bags, your fruit, your ice cream. Your milk, everything that every aisle you go down, you will find plastics around food. Even your healthy frozen foods and your healthy drinks, like your mineral waters, that's all plastic.
Wait, did you just say, I'm sorry, my dear, forgive the interruption, but did you just say healthy frozen food? Could you like to expand upon that? Because I'm thinking back to some of the allegedly healthy things that I used to eat that were frozen. And when I look at them now, they've got about 50 chemicals whose names I couldn't even pronounce.
Yeah, I know. But, well, they're better than the regular frozen foods.
Well, I don't even know if they are from a chemical perspective. Because, what we do is we will eat organic stuff. Pasture-raised stuff, and we really have tried our best to get away from the chemicals and the artificial stuff. And let me take this one step further. I was talking to a doctor a few weeks ago about this, and this is somebody who, this is his area of expertise. And I said, you know what I find interesting? Since I eliminated seed oils from my diet, my inflammation, even around broken bones in my spine, has gotten a lot better. And he said, yes, the seed oils, for example, they do contribute to inflammation, which will contribute to pain. And it's really funny because just by eliminating seed oils, and I'm not a doctor, I want to make that clear, but I have spoken with doctors about this, just by eliminating seed oils, you can actually make yourself feel better if you've got some pain issues from broken bones, fractures, and stuff like that. I know it sounds wackadoodle, but I know it works.
Yeah, but another way people are getting it is the lawn guys, you know, when the parking lots and apartment complex, when they mow, they don't pick up the litter. They don't pick up the plastic bottles that's there. They don't pick up the cans that are there. Everything gets chopped and it gets put back into the soil.
Well, you're absolutely correct. And one of the things that the HHS Secretary Kennedy and others brought out early in this Trump administration is the fact that, okay, our farmers, hey, farmers, if you're listening, I know you're busy farming and doing doing farm guy stuff, kind of a takeoff on the Josh Allen stuff, but I know you guys are busy farming, but are you aware that farming, in addition to being equally as dangerous in terms of workplace fatalities as being a lumberjack, that in the long term, because of the chemicals with which you work on a regular basis, farmers have a very high rate of certain cancers compared to the general public? And why is this important? Obviously, it's important to the farmers and the agricultural communities and their families, but it is also important to those of us who enjoy eating every now and again. Because, let's face it, we're eating the same chemicals that may very well be making the farmers sicker than most people.
Yeah, but I think about microplastics all the time because I go by this one apartment complex and I know that they do that, and there's kids that live there and they're supposed to be playing out in the grass. You know, it's like, yeah, so, you know, stuff like that. It's like, really?
Oh, but, my dear. Let me ask you something, because I feel a little bit out there talking about the issue of microplastics and plastic water bottles that everybody seems to be carrying with them all the time, even in the middle of winter. My goodness, I must get a bottle of water. I may dehydrate. And hydration is good, don't get me wrong. But at what point did you become aware of the fact that try to reduce to the greatest degree possible your consumption of plastics?
It was a few years ago, I would say 2-3 years ago. I didn't care. I was like, oh my God, and then I said, I've been doing it that long. And then I started drinking it. And then I realized how bad it is. Then I stopped. I have I drink from a metal container.
Yes.
And, so I even have a metal straw if I need the straw. So, I got rid of all my plastics. Well, my husband has to. I didn't like plastics right from the beginning. You know where you put your leftovers in and stuff. When I cleaned my cupboards, that was the first thing I did, got rid of. I said, I got this. You know, why not use that? I got rid of all the plastics because I just thought it was, I don't know, not appetizing.
Well, no, but, you know, I was talking to Tanner off the air, and believe it or not, Tanner Saunders, he's in his 20s. And by the way, ladies, he's a very good-looking guy. He's got a bright future, and he is single, just so you know. And he's loaded with testosterone, if that makes a difference to you, and kind of know what that means. But anyway, Tanner, as a young man, he's been aware of microplastics, and he is as, shall we say, doggedly determined to avoid them as people like you and myself. Now, the microplastics, you made a very excellent point. It is impossible to completely eliminate microplastics because they are so prevalent in the packaging of our food, the bottled water, even the materials off of which we eat our food in some cases. So you can't avoid them.
And then the people who microwave their food with plastic.
Oh, okay. Now, okay. If you want to talk about microwaves, we need to talk about microwaves because, you know what? Like many people, I want your story about when you wised up, but I'll tell you a quick one. Like many people, I was addicted to the microwave. However, over the past year, I've watched videos about what happens to food when it is microwaved, and interestingly, what happens to water after it is microwaved, and what happens to things that water is used to, well,
that
water.
I don't know. That's beyond me.
I understand exactly what you are saying, but you don't have to be a science expert to realize that videos I've seen, and again, keep in mind, everything I'm about to say, I've not scientifically analyzed myself, but I have seen videos of people watering plants, for example, with water that was not microwaved, and people watering plants with water that was microwaved. And the microwaved water did not bring the results that non-microwaved water did. I don't mean to get off of microplastics, but microwaving, that's really, it's absolutely fascinating.
Well, maybe I'll do that. Yes, let's see, because I have plants.
Well, yeah, but you said, I'm sorry, I interrupted you when you said microwave because you had hit on a very interesting point. At least it was interesting for me.
Yeah, like I said, those microwave dinners, they're in plastic and you put them in there, or your leftovers, you know, when you leave the restaurant, they put them in plastic and you put them in the microwave. So I think that's a heavy dose of microplastics. I don't know.
I got to tell you, my dear, I used to do this, and I've not done this in quite some time since I woke up in the Great Awakening, if you want to call it that. I used to put plastic material in microwaves and reheat stuff all the time, and I will never do that again.
So did I.
In fact, I very rarely even use the microwave.
Yeah, I used to do that too. That's how I know. It's like, oh my God, what was I doing in it? And you can't get away. Like I said, you buy TV dinners and they're in plastic and microwavable.
Yeah. Plastic. Yeah. And again, I'm so glad you're bringing this up because I really don't. When you talk about, I mean, because you've been into this now for a few years, and I think you are at the leading cusp of awareness about this stuff. Mm-hmm. When you talk to your friends about microplastics and what you don't do and what you try to cut down on in your everyday life, do they look at you like you've got antlers or horns or something?
No, they just let me do what I want. No.
But I mean, sometimes when we stumble across information,
you know what my daughter does? She goes along in the boat. They let you rent the boat, but you go along the shores, and she gets up all these plastics that's in the water around Buffalo. They do that every year. They clean up because people are throwing stuff in the water, and that, yeah.
Well, I think that's great what they do, but basically, trying to clean up the plastic in the world is kind of like counting sands and drinking oceans dry. It's like a never-ending thing.
There was this, I don't remember what I was watching, but they said that there is this huge, like, mile-long of all the plastics gather. I guess the water goes in certain, there's like miles of
Absolutely, and they're all over the world. There are clumps and clusters all over the bloody world.
And that's one of my biggest pet peeves is people who litter. Oh my God, it drives me nuts.
Well, look, you know, I'm sure that you're the kind of person, if you go on a picnic or go to a park or a beach, you probably leave your area cleaner than it was when you arrived, because we do the same darn thing.
Yep.
So I thank you very much, and I'm actually excited to hear that you have been aware of microplastics actually longer than I. So
my daughter is a health. I think she's a lot like your wife, so she's aware of everything, and she's the one who, you know, fills Ian.
Well, actually, just so you know, in all candor, my first wife is very much into candor, and my bride into health, and my wife now is very much into health, and they get along great, and they talk about this stuff all the time.
My daughter, she's big on it. Me, but see, she'll eat food that's good for you, but she don't like the taste. I won't do that. No. Mm-mm.
Wait, what'd you say? Something about food?
My daughter's a type. She'll buy food just because it's good for you, not because it tastes good. And I said, no.
You know what? What I have found is that the healthier food is actually not bad tasting at all. We found something that I think it's called, is it Miracle Noodles? I'll have to ask her. Miracle Noodles, and because we don't do a lot of carbs. And these Miracle Noodles have like 5 calories for a very big amount of Miracle Noodles. And with a little bit of imagination, you can pretend it's spaghetti.
Oh,
and she makes some great gravy. Not even Italian, but she makes some great gravy. And it's a fine meal. My dear, thank you, Teresa. I appreciate the call.
All right. You have a good night.
It's not night. What, do you know my sleep schedule? Because at 8:30 at night now, I'm an old man, and I'm tired, and I think I'm cold. Well, get off my lawn,
Teresa. I know. You're there a long, few hours before you got to be on here.
All right, my dear. Thank you, Teresa. I appreciate it. Yes. Yeah, I think they're called I got to ask her now. I think they're miracle noodles, but I don't know. And there are some stores around the country that obviously have some really good stuff. There's a place called, you can look it up online, a place called Sprouts that is in a lot of places. Unfortunately, no location in Buffalo, but they've got some really good stuff. In fact, even Ice Cream for Bears. It's a really stupid name, but it is amazingly good. And we'll get back to it on WBEN. Hey, the microplastic thing. I got walloped with a bunch of stories this morning about microplastics, specifically in bottled water, but also it's in food, in packaging, it's in soil. And all you can do, because it is so ubiquitous, that means it's everywhere, it's so ubiquitous that the most you can really do is cut down, consciously cut down on your risk of microplastics. You're not going to completely eliminate it. That ain't going to happen, because they are everywhere, like reptilian aliens. So right now, we've been talking about, and I get bombarded with all these stories this morning in my newsfeed about microplastics. And it's not as though I'm totally obsessed with microplastics, but I guess I'm totally obsessed with microplastics. And every time, true story, I always talk about how you guys influence me and what I've learned from you. And when I did a show on microplastics many months ago, of course, Tanner is going to say, many months ago? Well, Tom, you did it on June 10th. Thanks, Tanner. But when I did a show a few months ago on microplastics, we took a call, as I said earlier, from a dude, a veteran who served in Iraq, and apparently their water was shipped in, and it was basically sitting under the hot Iraqi sun in plastic. And one of the guys in his whatever unit it was that was on patrol doubled over in agony because he tried to urinate and he could not relieve himself. And the word came back that it was because of microplastics that somehow it affected his urinary system. And you might not be aware of this unless you're in the medical field, but not being able to pee is kind of a serious health issue. It is serious. And obviously it needs to be addressed, and they had to fly in a chopper to get him out of there. So microplastics are really important to me. And, you know, bottled water, I'm not picking on the bottled water people, because microplastics are really everywhere, but I'm thinking about something that people use every day. And I would think that bottled water would probably be number one, but yeah, when you get leftovers at a restaurant and you heat it up in a plastic container in a microwave, we don't do that, because all you're doing is dislodging microplastics, putting them into the food, so you're getting a little bonus with your leftover lasagna. I'm serious, and I wish I wasn't, but I am, and I know that this topic is a little bit weird for talk radio, okay, but nobody else talks about this, and I feel like, okay, I've got this information. You can look it up yourself, microplastics and human health. You can look it up yourself, and I think it's important to you and your future, so darn it, I'm going to talk about it, because I do think it's important, and it doesn't get a lot of attention. I think this is far more important to you than the government shutdown, right? Anybody want to agree, disagree? Anyway, welcome to October 1st. Tomorrow is Yom Kippur, and a very heavy-duty holiday of the Jewish tradition and Jewish faith. And, you know, it's interesting, because there are a lot of people who say, I'm Christian, but maybe they go to church once or twice a year, Christmas, Easter. And there are a lot of people who say, well, I'm Jewish, but it's a cultural thing, and it's not really a religious thing for a lot of people. So, yeah, they're Jewish, but maybe they'll go to synagogue once or twice a year. And a lot of my friends, don't be upset, who are Jewish. They love bacon. Clearly, they don't keep kosher, but I always laugh about it. I always say, hey, here's a real dilemma for you. Free bacon. They laugh. I've got great friends, great sense of humor. They're not overly sensitive, and we're not politically correct, any one of us. It's 3:57 at News Radio 930 WBEN. All right, welcome, WBEN, Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. Time is 11 minutes after 4 o'clock. It is great to have you with us, and I do hope you enjoyed the first hour talking a little bit about microplastics. And if you had no idea what we were discussing, I heartily encourage you to do your own search on microplastics and the human body and get a little bit more information. And again, as I said during the first hour of the program, I'm under no delusion. My wife is under no delusion at all with respect to the issue of microplastics. You are not going to eliminate them from your body, okay? It isn't going to happen. But what you can do is reduce your exposure to the greatest degree possible. And as I said, if we're thirsty and there is no glass bottle option available, yeah, we'll do plastic water bottles because necessity is the mother of forgetting your principles or forgetting about your health. I'm thirsty. As long as you can cut down on microplastics, you've done something that most people are not doing. But it is a very, very important topic, I must tell you. It is a crazy traffic day today. We're going to be checking in with Trevor Hauer on a somewhat regular basis until things happen to resolve themselves. And somebody wanted to know, glass water bottle. Yes, I'm actually drinking a Topo Chico mineral water out of a glass bottle. Thank you. In case you wanted to know, that is not an endorsement. All right. I discovered it in San Antonio, had never had it before that, and it's kind of my go-to. It's almost like a treat, and things are a little bit weird in life when water from a glass bottle becomes a treat for you. That's a little bit weird, not gonna lie, although I do enjoy those almonds coated, the yogurt almonds you can get at, you know, Whole Foods. Anyway, it is 16 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN. I want to go off on a different vein right now, if that's okay with you, before I get to what I really want to get into, the meeting yesterday with all of the military brass. What we are told, you know what we've been told. You know what that meeting was about, and publicly, there was nothing huge going on. So, was I wrong that I thought something big was on the horizon? Not necessarily. Oh, I might have been wrong. It's happened once or twice before in the past 44 years. But what we're being told, and I guess I have no choice but to believe the official narrative unless I have reliable information from somebody else stressing otherwise, what we're told is that it sounds to me like it was just a state of the military and here's what we're doing to make it better and here's where we are right now thing. And putting yourself in the situation of an admiral or a general in the armed forces, if you had to travel 24 hours to basically go to a meeting that really was not classified, we're told it was going to be classified, but you go to a meeting that isn't classified and they pull you away from your duty station and you've got to leave everything and everyone you know behind to go to this meeting and it proved to be just a rah-rah session. Let me ask you, would you be happy about that? Because I would not be happy about that. Seriously, I would not be real thrilled. My first thing would have been, you know what? We could have done this online. We could have done a remote. We could have done a video feed. Why did they have to do this and drag me all the way from Southeast Asia or the Philippines all the way from there to Quantico, Virginia? My goodness, I feel as though my time was abused. And as I've said, I said this yesterday, I've said it before, in my humble opinion, the biggest waste of time ever in the professional life, workplace, meetings. I'm trying to think back on any meeting that I've ever had over 44 years. Trying to think of any meeting that I came away from and thinking, wow, my life has changed. I really had some valuable insight there. There's nothing I've ever learned in a meeting that could not have been done in a 3-minute phone call. Because one of the things, oh, here's another issue too, that I want to bring this, and maybe I'll even do this today. I'm just going to put a little teaser out there. How many of you feel like you are overloaded with information? Anybody overloaded with information? Because over the course of the past maybe 3-4 years in particular, I've been going through information overload. There are so many factoids that come out, so much that we are exposed to in terms of alleged information, and it never stops. It's constant. It's 24/7. If you've got your phone on vibrate and you don't turn it off at night, if you've got the alert set up in a certain way, you're going to be awakened every 10 seconds by vital new information, breaking news. Actually, it goes back further than just a few years ago. I'm going to go back to roughly 2001 and September 11th because the breaking news graphic, the breaking news graphic on Fox News, everything was breaking news. And there comes a point, in my opinion, where it becomes the boy who cried wolf. If everything is breaking news, then I guess it's just news, isn't it? Unless it's really monumental and major. And I want you to ponder this for a minute, okay? I happen to believe that information overload is a giant stressor for you and for all of us. And I must give credit where credit is due. And I have talked about this before on the air, but one of the things I don't like is when people are really ahead of the time in which they're living and speaking, and they don't get recognition for being absolutely prescient and brilliant. And one of those people would be Dr. Gerald Goldhaber, who was the head of the Department of Communication at UB when I was going to school there. And I'll tell you how he nailed what's happening right now many years ago. So anyway, I went into this little thing that I think would be a great topic, maybe information overload. And I just want to give credit where credit is due, because back in the 1980s, at the basically the beginning of the personal computer revolution, the chairman of communication at UB was a guy by the name of Dr. Gerald Goldhaber. And believe it or not, we used to go to lunch a lot. And he was a great guy. And Dr. Goldhaber would actually be flown into places like Japan and Europe. He would give presentations on information overload. It is going to be a major cause of stress and issues the more the computer era progresses. And obviously now it has progressed exponentially way back. I mean, I'm talking about way. It has just gone so far above and beyond what it was in the 80s. I don't know what the mathematics are on this, but it probably has grown by at least 100 times the information we receive, because we didn't have smartphones back then. Only rich people had phones in their cars, I'm just saying. And it was just really, the amount of information we get now is just over the top. But Dr. Goldhaber warned all those years ago about information overload, and that we have to be vigilant about information overload, and we have to learn even greater ways to triage, if you will, or prioritize all of the information that we receive on a daily and nightly basis. Okay? I'm just saying, we got to be very vigilant. I agree with Dr. Goldhaber. He was so far ahead of his time. And I have a confession for you. See, I'm an information junkie, and it's not really helped by my addiction to documentaries. So it's not just the information from today, today's breaking news. It's also the stuff from many years ago on which you really should have an education, especially if you do this for a living. I mean, for example, yesterday a caller brought up a movie and he didn't know the name of it, but I knew exactly what he was discussing. It was 6 days in May, the other day, 6 days in May. And look, that information would not have been in my brain and at my fingertips had I not done show prep actually a couple of years ago and actually bought that movie on Amazon. And I've got so much useless information rattling around between my ears. It's not funny, but it becomes useful when somebody mentions something from totally out of the blue. Talking about information overload a little bit. And I do want to do this as a topic at some point, if you guys want to chime in, because it's all about you and talking to you. So if you have something to say about information overload and the way we are bombarded with stuff constantly that we never had before, even in the 1980s, there was CNN and there were the three local TV stations and the public TV station. And that was it. It's not like we had smartphones and we heard about a breaking news story and we immediately went to X to see the video. They didn't exist in the 1980s. They truly did not. And now everything is a touch away. And to make it even worse now, one of my big concerns, and this is, by the way, also another show idea, AI. There are so many fake AI videos and artificially generated content pieces out there. You have to be so vigilant about your source and confirming that a story is really a story. For example, when somebody tells me, hey, look at this, shows me a screenshot about a truth post by President Trump, I will immediately say, well, that's very, very interesting, but that was on a social media platform. Did you actually go to the Truth Social platform and verify? And sometimes it's not even verified. Just saying. There was an Eric Trump post about a month ago, and I didn't believe it. It seemed really fantastical, and it turned out that I was right. Eric Trump doesn't really use Truth Social the way his dad does. 28 minutes after 4 at News Radio 930 WBEN. If any of this is interesting to you and you want me to do a show on it, I'm all ears. Email me, tom@wben.com, tom@wben.com. We've got a great thing coming up after the 4:30 news on News Radio 930 WBEN. I know you're going to love it. I know you're going to want to chime in. Don't go anywhere. All right, welcome. WBEN, Arthur Pressman, traffic attorney. Time is 4:38. And has this been a weird traffic week or what? And it continues, unfortunately for you, if you're stuck this afternoon, there are backups where you wouldn't expect to see them today. Now, this, pardon me. This is, well, I'm going to get into that in just a moment, but just a couple of factoids. I was talking about information overload, but a couple of factoids that I wanted to make mention of. One of the articles that began to overwhelm my cranium the other day was a story about Westchester County in New York State, outside of New York City. And apparently right now there is a there's a real estate boom in Westchester County because the because of the likely new mayor of New York City. And people are vacating New York City even now, and they're buying up the houses in Westchester. And one of the things that you have to ask is, I think something that the entire state needs to ask itself, how do you fund a government if you have made living in an area uncomfortable for people who are most likely to fund the government? Because you can't get money from people who ain't got it. Okay, you need to get money from the people who have it. And I have previously, and I will again, cite just one example. Tom Golisano, the guy who used to own the Buffalo Sabres, he enabled Democrats in New York State, and then he enabled them when he saw what actually the policies were. He hightailed it out of state. Hello? Oh, we've got traffic info now. Oh, Tim Wenger, the traffic reporter, never leaves Tim Wenger. It hugs his shoulder constantly. Tim, what's going on? It's horrible out there.
Tom, I wish I knew. I'm sorry to interrupt your flow of conversation there, but this really is a crazy one, as Trevor's been telling you and as you've been passing along too. But, you know, I started on the 190 South coming off of the 290, you know, leaving our offices and heading down along the river. And, I mean, immediately I came to and almost standstill, and then crawled my way down past Ontario Street, was in touch with Trevor and you, blowing up your phone. And then ultimately I just made the decision to get off at the Skagitwa. And it, you know, Skagitwa, I'll note this, is where I'm kind of putting two and two together, that I don't know for sure, but I think this is all a result of this commercial traffic backlog, because there are tractor trailers everywhere, and they're all trying to get off of the 190 in places in the vicinity of the Peace Bridge. For example, Amherst Street, Austin Street, Porter Avenue, of course. We're told that the ramp, as Trevor's been reporting, from Niagara Street in both directions on the 190 is either closed or blocked. I'm not sure which word is best. So I got on the Skagitwa. The Skagitwa traveling toward the 190 is backed up to Elmwood Avenue. I haven't seen a delay like that in forever. I'm going down southbound on Delaware Avenue now to downtown Buffalo. Northbound Delaware Avenue is backed up in pretty much gridlock from the Skagitwa all the way back beyond, you know, I guess down near North Street. So it's really, it's just, it's affecting so many different areas, certainly the 190 north and south, the Skagitwa now, and then these north-south routes. I passed over Niagara Street, and that is a parking lot, indeed, along the river and in the vicinity of the Peace Bridge and the Skagitwa. So it's just a mess this afternoon all around, and I would just avoid it if you don't need to be there. And if you're in it, have some patience.
Well, Tim, I'm getting the idea that what I need to do is open up phone lines for people who are caught in the traffic as you are, because it sounds like this is well above and beyond the usual rush hour situation. I mean, when you use the word gridlock, you do not use that lightly.
Yeah, no, and I do think that some of those folks that are in it or near maybe the source of it can kind of confirm or maybe even deny some of the things I'm saying. But there, I mean, I've never seen so many tractor trailers don't get off at Amherst Street and Austin Street on a routine basis. I mean, maybe the Wegmans truck goes there, because there's a Wegmans on Amherst Street. But, I mean, it's just not a big truck traffic area. And they're trying to get onto Niagara Street because they're trying to go over the Peace Bridge. And the situation on the Peace Bridge and at the borders, the system has been repaired. That's all good. But these trucks have been backlogged. And earlier this morning, I had heard there were a bunch of trucks, you know, all staging and waiting at as far away as the Pembroke service area. So I think that, you know, they flushed all of those out of there and they're all ending up at the same place at the same time and wreaking havoc on our little rides home.
Good heavens. If I'm understanding you correctly, we're talking about the backlog from yesterday and the Canadian border delays, and that you believe that there's a high likelihood that what we're seeing right now is a direct result of what happened yesterday when people could not cross the border.
Yeah, and again, I don't want to say that the border problem hasn't been fixed because apparently their systems have been fixed, but I just think all these tractor trailers are showing up, and that's what's causing the backlog right now. Now, I might be wrong, and there might be someone out there that can correct all this, but that's at least my observation from traveling through it. The bottom line is the one thing I'm not wrong about is it's an extremely slow and frustrating ride on the 190, the Skajakwita. No matter what the reason, the gridlock does exist.
We're not used to this kind of stuff in Buffalo and Western New York, thank God, happening on a regular basis, but it just seems like this is one of those days where the circumstances of yesterday and, of course, the normal volume of today have combined into a kind of a traffic pudding.
That's a good way to put it. I wish it was moving as fast as pudding. But it's not. More like concrete.
Well, don't worry. If you're wrong about what's causing it, I just want you to know I've never been wrong about anything in my life. just so you're aware of that. I've always been 100% correct on everything I've said on the show. So I guess I can afford to give you a pass on that. But I absolutely think you are right. And hopefully we're going to get some calls from people around the Lewiston, Queenston, and maybe from Niagara Falls. And Tim, Niagara Falls yesterday was a parking lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a very confusing week and a strange week, as you noted when you started the segment. Just a bizarre week of traffic problems, for sure.
I'm just saying, Tim, now that you're the big man in charge of the group of radio stations, maybe a fixed wing or a helicopter, any chance?
I think we should bring back the traffic copter, for sure.
I have one thing I want to say in conclusion, but obviously you can call back anytime. You can blow up my phone anytime. Harlem Eggert, Suffolk Rider. Captain Bob Massey. That was his shtick, baby. All right, Tim Wenger, thanks so much. I appreciate you joining us with clarification, and I hope we're going to get other people calling in. There he is, Tim Wenger. And I mean, the funny thing is Tim started out as a traffic reporter at WBEN and doing news, and now he is the big boss man. And I'm going to those of you who are thinking about getting the radio, there's a number of things I'd like to tell you. But one of the things I would like to tell you is if you have the opportunity to do anything on the air, you take the opportunity. In the words of John Otto, to be on the radio, you have to be on the radio. And I think I talked about this last week, but John Murphy, he didn't start out as the voice of the Bills. He started out at a 1,000-watt, one-lung daytime radio station in Niagara Falls, and he built his way up to become the voice of the Bills. And Chris Brown, and I worked very closely, with Chris Brown on the morning show many years ago at the other radio station, and Chris was doing sports for us. And Chris is the voice of the Buffalo Bills now, and obviously, you have to pay your dues, but Chris, like John Murphy, kind of designed his own career. He knew what he wanted. He knew what he had to do to get there, and he did it. And Tim Wenger started out doing traffic. So the takeaway from it is, if this is what you want to do for a living, any chance you've got to make a name for yourself and to get practice and experience, you do it, even if it's covering a fashion show for dragonflies. 803, if you're stuck in the traffic, you want to tell us where you are and what you're seeing and whether you've moved more than 50 feet in the past hour. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I think the circumstances are such today that I feel okay about going to traffic. Plus, I kind of got the go-ahead from my boss, so I covered my butt. by the way, that's lesson two if you want to go into radio. CYA. We're going to take calls on this traffic mess after the news. If you're in it, give us the update on your situation. I'd love to hear from some truckers. I love you men and ladies in the trucking industry. I really do. You've got a tough job, and yesterday didn't make it any easier. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. All right. It is a traffic nightmare. We're going to take calls on where you are and what you are experiencing in just a moment. 803-0930 is the phone number. Star 930 on the cell phone. 1-800-616-WBEN. We may hear from the aforementioned, the great Tim Wenger. It's on his driver's license, the great Tim Wenger. And maybe Lisa Polizzi on WBEN. But right now, let's hear from you. Are you nailed down in traffic? It is a cluster out there. Here's Tracy on a cell phone. Tracy, thank you for holding. You are on WBEN. Tell us about your attempt to get home.
I'm almost home. I left work at Kenmore Mercy at 4:02. I live in Hamburg, and I stayed in the left lane of the 190 South, and it was stop and go closer to the Peace Bridge, but as I got close to the Peace Bridge, the semis are all lined up in the right lane, just one after another, after another, after another. It clears up once you get under the Peace Bridge by Porter Avenue. It's a straight going, no traffic after that. I get on the Skyway and take Route 5 home, and it's fine. But you are going to wait. So I'm going to tell people to stay in the left lane, but then that's going to get all clogged. But it's the right lane because all the semis are in the right lane to get onto the exit to get onto the Peace Bridge. So that's what's happening. It's nice drive because of the river, and you get to look at the river. But I stayed in the left lane. I usually get home in 20 minutes. It took me an hour and 15 minutes to get home today.
That's a big deal. I was going to actually ask you the usual commute versus what it took today. Tracy, thanks a million. Yes. Appreciate your call. You stuck in this traffic quagmire in Western New York? Probably has a lot to do with what happened yesterday at the Canadian border. Downtown Niagara Falls, for example, was a virtual parking lot of semis. Here is Carl in Amherst on WBEN. Hello.
Hey, Tom. Hey, you know, I feel sorry for everybody up there that's sitting there in that, you know, that big artery with all them, you know, blood clots going on there of cars, you know. You know, you got to think about this. You know, Western New York in Erie County, these roads are designed pretty good.
Hello? Carl?
Like this, when I hear all this, yeah?
Yeah, no, you just cut out there. I'm not sure what happened, but you entered into the cell phone twilight zone.
Oh, I know. It happens all the time. So I had to leave Lackawanna and head up to North Town of London, and I heard all this nonsense going on. And my instincts kick in because I know how to drive because I'm in the service industry, so I have to drive everywhere. And I happen to know what roads to take and what roads not to take. So when I hear this stuff go on, I get off the thruway, and I make my way. And I'm going to tell you something. More people need to do that. Look, if you think about it, the thruway is the main artery, and all we are is nothing but a bunch of blood clots, and we're just clotting it all up. But if we start getting off into the veins of the towns, we can make our way home. Yeah, it might take you an extra 5 or 10 minutes, but man, you get home safe. You see businesses that you never seen before, places that just popped up, you know, in the past few years. And actually, it's less stressful. I love it. I get off the thruway sometimes, and yeah, it might take me an extra 10 minutes to get to where I'm going. But you know what? I'm less stressed. I'm not pounding the steering wheel. And my legs feel a heck of a lot better because I'm not hitting the brakes all the time.
We just talked to a lady, my friend. We just talked to a lady whose commute took her a ridiculously long time. And I'm pretty sure she probably wasn't relaxing or enjoying the river because it's hard to enjoy the river when you're driving.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, she's from Hamburg. So, you know, I live out there, too. I just happen to be working in Lackawanna. But you know what? When the traffic is bad like that, Tom, I know how to get home to Hamburg. by not taking Route 5. Man, if you take Route 5 in the Skyway, no offense to anybody, you're crazy. But if you get off at some of those roads and start taking the back roads up into Hamburg and get yourself into Blaisdell and then get back on Route 5, man, you are golden, dude. You are golden. There are ways of getting around this town, and it's designed specifically, I think, nowadays for just those things. And I think people need to stop using the throughway and just sitting there going crazy. I think they need to learn to kick in their instincts and stop using that GPS, too. Now, I'll tell you right now, GPS, you got to get your instincts. You got to get your head together and know where you're driving. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, you brought up a lot. Okay, first of all, can we just address the GPS thing first?
Yeah, man.
Okay. GPS is awesome, but it also has made a nation and a generation of people who are absolutely map illiterate. And look,
right,
I'm old school, baby. So if I'm visiting someplace, the first thing I do is I look at the maps and I try to figure out which are the big north-south roads, which are the east-west roads. So even without GPS, I've got a general idea where I am in relation to the world, which of course I could do with GPS, but I'm old school. And sometimes GPS does not catch up with your drive. Sometimes GPS gives you stupid commands. Turn left. Mm-hmm. Well, there's no left hand, like in a parking lot in particular. I think GPS is great, but I think it's got to be taken with a grain of salt. Now, as far as people taking...
Man. Yeah.
But my friend, as far as not taking the thruway, that's a big ask because it's Buffalo, New York, and we don't usually get days like these.
Right. No, I get it. You know, you talk about GPS, like you said, you're old school, so am I. You know what's in my work vehicle? I got maps. I got like maybe 8-9 maps of the area. So I know where, just in case I need to get off somewhere, maybe that road ain't there no more, I could take a look at a map. Or if the GPS, in my opinion, isn't really working with me, I break out the map every now and then. You know what? You and I, we're from that generation where, you know, common sense always kicked in and we know what to do with ourselves in times of turmoil and stuff. But, yeah, people have relied on GPS way too much, man, way too much. And it does get people into trouble. And GPS, in some cases, doesn't catch up. I don't even like that red, yellow line that says heavy traffic, mild traffic. I don't even believe that stuff.
All right,
you know?
So, Mr. You don't like GPS, but you use it. Sorry, I had to point that out. Which GPS system? Which one do you use? Because we use Waze, W-A-Z-E.
You want to hear something funny?
Sure.
I only use a GPS if I'm traveling out of the state and far. It's a God's honest truth, lightning strike me. I don't use GPS anywhere in New York because I've traveled so much. I know every nook and cranny from here to Albany, Albany, downstate, all around 86, 76, everywhere. I know every crack in those roads. I know everything about those roads. I've been traveling roads, God, now I'm 59. Mm. Oh, God, probably since I was 16 years old. So I don't need GPS that much. I just know points of certain points. I know where I'm driving to, things that I'm familiar with, routes. I know my routes, you know. I mean, I don't really use GPS. I'm one of those real super old school people.
Well, I'm so glad you called. Interesting points, and I'm going to actually use something you said as an additional topic. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you very much to Carl, with a C, I guess.
Thanks,
on WBEN. My great pleasure, sir. Are you stuck in the traffic? I'm also going to throw in the whole GPS thing, because I do believe that we have a nation of people who cannot read maps. I can read a map. I use GPS as a general convenience, but I also know there are some flaws in it. It's like ChatGPT or AI. Sometimes it's wrong. Where are you in traffic? How bad is it? Because I'm telling you, people, it is a mess for many, many people, not just the 190, but also the roads people are entering to get off of the 190. Basically, it's the old out of the frying pan and into you-know-what situation. And that happens when we get days like this. They don't happen a lot, but they're happening today. Here's Robin on WBEN. You are calling in, and where are you?
Tom, I just got through that mess. It took me 45 minutes to get from Kenmore Ave.
And using, you got to tell which road? I presume the 190 along the river?
I was on the 190 south.
Mm-hmm.
it took me 45 minutes to get from Kenmore Ave to the Peace Bridge. And, you know, it's nerve-wracking because it's bumper to bumper. People are trying to switch lanes, trying to figure out which lane's going to get there the quickest. The right lane is all clogged up with semis, especially those trying to get off of the Skajakwita onto the 190 South. But my problem was, is during all this, there was a motorcyclist who decided he was going to try to come down the center lane in between all this mess. And that's just more added stress. I almost hit him because I wasn't expecting him to come on my left side in between me and the left lane of traffic.
Well, obviously, I'm sorry to hear that. Motorcycles do that, as you know, and so do four-wheelers, because
right.
I saw a dude the other day on the thruway. It was a white Mercedes, and this guy was weaving in and out of traffic at about 120 miles an hour. And what, you're going to drive like an absolute maniac doing a risk-benefit analysis. You're not gaining enough because you're still going to have to get off the thruway and wait at the ramp.
Right, right. Well, and the thing was, is, you know, poor somebody's going to hit this kid or guy, and it'll be their fault for hitting him, you know, because you just don't expect someone to come flying up on the inside. It's just a big no-no. But anyway, I'm through the mess. I live in Ellicottville. It's going to take me another 20 minutes to get home. And I don't think there's any good alternative right now other than to just grin and bear it and try to get through the mess. So, and the funny thing was, is I was at lunch with my girlfriends, and they were like, "Oh, we're going to go shopping." I go, "Nope, I'm going to beat rush hour traffic, and I'm heading home."
Wow.
Well, that didn't work out.
I feel bad for anybody who's caught in this traffic, and you know, we're kind of lucky. Western New York does not have a traffic situation like the GTA, Toronto does, or many
right.
other major metropolitan areas. Have you driven through Charlotte during rush hour?
Oh my God, that's fun. It's
Jacksonville, that's fun. Good grief.
My kids live in Baltimore. Yeah, you don't want to, you know, I try to time my drive there so I don't hit their rush hour traffic. That's a nightmare.
So. All righty. Hey, thanks for the call, Robin. And I guess you're calling in from Ellicottville. So enjoy the hills, would you?
Thank you. Thank you.
Oh,
it's beautiful out this way. It's almost peak. So if you're going
I was just going to ask you, my dear, forgive the interruption, but this weekend would be almost peak, you think? And it'd be a good time to come to Ellicottville?
Absolutely, yeah, because our trees are starting to really drop their leaves because it's been so dry. So, yes, this week is probably going to be peak. Usually it's for Fall Festival, but I think the leaves will be down by then.
Wow. Thank you very much. I appreciate the call.
Okay, have a great afternoon, Tom.
I already am. I wish you guys were trying to get home. Going to take more calls. Traffic is a Mongolian cluster dance out there. We only save that decorative language for days like this, and it's bad. If you're caught in it, if you were caught in it, how bad was it? It usually takes you how many minutes to get home, and what road did you take, and how many minutes did it take you today? Yeah, days like this suck. Hey, at least it's not 10 degrees and snowing, so you got that going for you. 28 minutes after 5, that is Arthur Pressman, Traffic Attorney Time at News Radio 930 WBEN.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
My goodness, some days it's so easy to get home, and then you've got days like today. 5:39 at News Radio 930 WBEN. Are you in traffic? You've been trying to get from where to where, and you want to tell us about your drive without using any dirty words that the FCC would not like? 803. Well, wait a minute. Then they could suspend me, and I could come back to more listen. Well, maybe I will. Kidding. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. We'd not heard from Tim Wenger in quite some time. Kind of wondering if he took a wrong way, the wrong turn, and ended up in Beijing right about now. Let's go to Brian in Kenmore on WBEN. Oh, Brian, enlighten us on what a horrible traffic day this has been for you.
I got caught up in it, Tom, coming downtown about 3 hours ago, and I was lucky to get off at the Skagitwa. I think this would be a good sample of what's going to happen if they get rid of the Kensington Expressway, like some people want to do, and the Skagitwa Expressway.
Yeah.
Some people. And this is what it will be like on all the city streets. To get out of downtown, I just took Elmwood, and it's back. You know, it's a mess. And yeah, so it's miserable right now.
So I mean, you talked about downtown. You were trying to get from where to where?
Well, I was helping my son over in Elmwood Village. He's building a porch, so I went down to check on him. And so I came up Elmwood, and it's just a lot of traffic because everybody's getting off the 190 and then taking those streets to get through the city.
You mean attempting to take those streets?
Yeah. But I bet you that's, you know, all that traffic that's jammed up on a 190 will be on all the side streets if they ever get rid of the, you know, the expressways like some people want to do. It was just my thought.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I brought that up earlier. I said next time some dim-witted politician talks about doing away with the Skagitwa, please keep this in mind because this is what you're going to get every single day. Now, I just have a question for you. You talked about Elmwood Avenue, and Elmwood Avenue, did you see a lot more trucks than normal, tractor trailers?
No, I didn't. Yeah. No, not really. It was just clogged up with a lot of cars. But it was slow, but I got through it. It took about 45 minutes to get from the Elmwood Village to Kenmore. So,
all right. Wait, how long? Yeah. My headphones.
About 45 minutes, about 40 minutes.
Yeah, that's a little bit long. So, was it volume and then getting hit for every light on Elmwood Avenue?
Yep. Yeah. All yeah. Right. Yeah. There's a lot of volume and it just stopped, all the red lights. It's just clogged up.
Well, at least the red lights are perfectly synchronized the way they should be. Sarcasm dripping here.
I don't think they are.
All right, Brian. Thank you, man. I appreciate the call. Obviously, we're focusing a lot on traffic right now. Kind of an unexpected program today. I knew we were going to do this I knew when it was going to happen when my phone started blowing up. And you got to understand that my people do not bother me on the air with text unless it's very serious. And I'm feeling my phone vibrate. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, something big is going on. I knew it was traffic, and I was like, okay, I guess we got to do traffic because we got to help people out, and that's what we do here on News Radio 930 WBEN. So if you are caught in traffic, not just on like the 190, but also the Skagitwa and the streets that exit from the Skagitwa, like Tim Wenger was describing before, I would love to hear from you about your experiences today. Now, we suspect that this huge huge cluster dance. We suspect that it has a lot to do with the backup of the international trucking traffic because of the issues on the Canadian side of the border yesterday. And I don't know exactly what happened there. Was it hacked? I mean, what are we talking about? I mean, airports, border crossings kind of go hand in hand, but I don't know for an absolute fact yet. No matter what anybody says publicly, I like to verify these things on my own. The truck situation may very well be it. But as one of our previous callers said, the last guy there, the 198, the Skajakwita, is a very vital and important, fast-moving, generally, road to take. It's very, very important. And if that turns into a cow pasture or a cow path, I think it's going to have a very adverse effect on getting people into and out of downtown Buffalo, which, of course, is exactly what you want when people aren't coming downtown like they used to anyway. Hey, downtown is dead. How do we keep people from spending money downtown? Really? I'm just saying, you know what we could do? We could spend $1 billion and build an extension onto the light rail, which itself doesn't bring people downtown on a regular, consistent basis. And better than that, let's make sure we build it for UB students, because college students always have a lot of money to spread around. Yeah, I'm sorry, but to spend money, you got to have money. And I don't think that's really solid thinking, quite frankly. But that's my opinion. It is 5:47. At News Radio 930 WBEN. Where were you trying to go? Where are you now? And how long does it, pardon me, how long does it usually take you to get to where you are going this time of day? And how long have you been at it right now? Or how long did it take you to actually reach the mountaintop, otherwise known as your front door or your garage, depending on where you park? And with all of the car break-ins and car thefts lately, if you can park in the garage, probably a good idea. I'm just saying. 803-0930 is the number. I have something stuck in my throat. 803-0930 in the 716, star 930 on the cell phone, and 1-800-616-WBEN. I want to take your call coming up on the Bowerly program, but actually today it's kind of been the Trevor program. Trevor does a great job with traffic. He's been all over this today. I'm hoping we'll hear from Tim Wenger before too long, because Tim, as I mentioned earlier, for those who don't know, Tim started out in this business many years ago doing traffic and news, and he loves doing traffic. And here's a little inside information. If Tim Wenger could be our big boss man and do traffic in mornings and afternoons, he would do it in a heartbeat. I don't know why. I can't explain it, but Tim loves traffic. And traffic is something I've never done. I would absolutely suck at it. You suck doing this show too, moron. Yeah, probably. I know. But I've never done it, and I'm very envious of people who can do traffic. I'm also envious of people who can do play-by-play, because things move so quickly, I would stumble all over the place. NHL play-by-play, tough. Baseball play-by-play, I think, might be doable. But NHL, very tough. NFL, very tough. Because even watching the game on a big screen TV, I can't tell who's doing what in the actual moment. I got to see it in slow motion with little arrows drawn on the screen. I'm not that good with that. 803-0930 is the phone number, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. The other thing, too, I'll throw out there is GPS. Do you actually know how to read a map? And you know what? I'm not real smart. Can we just establish that? I'm not as smart as some of you think I really am. I'm actually pretty stupid at most of life. But one of the things I did learn early in life was map reading. And I can still read maps. And if I'm going somewhere, I take a good look at maps before I go there, because I need to know what are the big north, south, and east, west roads near where I am going to be. So on the off chance I do get lost and GPS isn't working, at least I'll be able to fumble my way back to a hotel. Okay? I like looking at maps. Not going to lie, GPS is a phenomenal tool, but it can make mistakes. And sometimes, maybe it's happened to you, you're driving along, and 1 minute you're told, in a mile, turn left. Then a second later, turn left at this light. That was 50 feet, not a mile. I do curse at the GPS lady. I will not lie. Hey, guys and ladies, I want to thank you very much for the calls today. I really want to thank Trevor, because Trevor, came through big time with all that traffic information. Also want to thank Tim Wenger for contributing mightily to the show, and Lisa Polizzi, because when stuff hits the fan, when my phone starts blowing up, I kind of dread it, because I know that something is happening that is serious and I'm going to have to change gears. And today it just happened to work out. So thanks to Tim Wenger, Lisa Polizzi, Trevor Hauer. No thanks to Tanner Saunders. He's just pathetic. I love Tanner Saunders. Tanner was awesome today because he has a lot of communicating to do between me and Trevor and Tim and Lisa. He's like the point man, if you will. So Tanner Saunders, great job, buddy. Well done, sir. Well done, you. You want a piece thank of the paycheck, too? Is that what this is about? A little silent treatment here?
I said all thank right. you.
I know you said thank you, but it didn't sound enthusiastic. It didn't really sound like a great deal of gratitude. It sounded almost obligatory, Tanner. I'm not going to lie. We love Tanner Saunders. He's awesome. He's my buddy. We're twins, in case you didn't know that. He's told people that. We're twins. Anyway, great job, Tanner. Seriously. Stand by. Tom Puckett is coming up next with Buffalo's Evening News on News Radio 930 WBEN. And just remember, this was the day, October 1st, 2025, where we actually had to use the word gridlock to describe Western New York traffic. That doesn't happen.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.